From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made last week when British actor Jack Whitehall announced on Instagram that he was cast as Disney's first openly gay character in a film. His character in the film Jungle Cruise is described as, quote, hugely effete, very campy, and very funny, end quote. Since the announcement, Whitehall and Disney have been deluged with criticism from the LGBTQ community and beyond because Whitehall is straight. Some critics have said that casting a straight man in an iconic gay role was insensitive and could promote stereotypes of gay men. Yet others say that the criticism was unwarranted. They say actors are actors, it's all pretend, and perhaps casting a gay actor in the role would have typecast that actor. Then there's this. Writing for The Independent, Darren Scott, a former editor of a gay magazine, said, quote, let's not forget that even when Hollywood does cast an LGBTQ plus person in a gay role, Ruby Rose as Batwoman last week, for example, they still end up being hounded off Twitter for being, quote, the wrong lesbian or some other such nonsense, end quote. So what do you think? Should casting reflect life experiences? Or is it just pretend? It's an ongoing question and debate in Hollywood and beyond. This hour, we'll talk about Disney's and other casting decisions, as well as LGBTQ representation in television and film. According to the advocacy organization GLAAD, LGBTQ representation in films from the seven biggest Hollywood studios fell significantly in 2017. So what can studios do to be more inclusive in their storytelling? I'd like to welcome my guests for the hour, and we have a packed studio. Adam Lubitau is a film critic for City Newspaper. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Jenny Werner is the literary director and resident dramaturg at Geva Theater Center. Welcome back to you.
Thank you.
Also joining us, Penny Sterling, a storyteller.
Welcome. Hi.
Hi. Michael Gamilla is the programming director for Image Out, the Rochester LGBT Film Festival. Welcome.
Good afternoon.
And Jake Purcell is a local actor. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Megan.
So I'd like to start just by going around the table and hear all of our guests' reactions to that casting decision. Some say Disney including a gay character is a turning point in film history. With that in mind, do all of you think that it was insensitive, the decision they made, or do you support those who say actors are actors and some of this criticism is overblown? We'll start with you, Adam.
It is disappointing to me, especially since they're making such a big deal. It's the first openly gay character, and to give that to a straight actor. And definitely I can see the viewpoint of, you know, actors are actors, but, I mean, in an ideal world, everyone would have an equal opportunity for those roles, and that just isn't the case, where your, you know, gay actors are getting passed over. And so to see that handed over is disappointing to me.
Mm-hmm. Jake, what about you?
Jakes, I don't have issues with the casting of Jack Whitehall, mostly from the standpoint that we don't know the whole picture. We don't know what the casting process was like. We don't know who showed up to auditions. It's possible that, you know, was this character written as gay in pre-production? Did Jack Whitehall show up and his interpretation was to play the character as gay? And did that possibly inspire the direction of the character? So I tend to think there's more to it than that. And I struggle with the knee-jerk reactions that the Twitterverse, you know, jumps onto based on, you know, a decision that was made that might be a small facet of the character. And I do believe that, you know, directors and production, they have to be, you know, this person may have shown up and given them a perspective or an idea of the character they had never even considered before. So I tend to stay true to what is best for a character, and I don't believe that's necessarily a gay man.
What you mentioned about what we don't know that happened or did not happen behind the scenes is something Michael shared in an email with me before the program. Michael, you were saying, we don't know who else auditioned. We have no idea.
Yeah.
So where do you fall on this issue?
Well, I'm also with Jake on actors are just actors, but I just feel like Disney failed to take this opportunity to really throw their support around the LGBTQ plus community, because this is the first openly gay character that they're going to be showing. So it's huge. They could have used this as a platform to show their support to the community. But again, who else went to the audition and were gay actors turned down because they're gay? I don't know that. But I usually don't have an issue with straight actors getting gay roles, but I just think this was a great opportunity that was missed.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, I see you nodding.
Well, I mean, so I agree that there is a lot that we don't know, but one thing that we do know is the way this character is described, which mm-hmm. is very campy, very funny, and historically, gay characters are either characters we laugh at and make fun of, or characters that are tragic. And I think the fact that that Disney, I mean, it's sort of telling, honestly, that it's Disney is choosing to represent the first gay character in one of their films as one of these stereotypical roles. And I think that's unfortunate. And that's my biggest problem with it, is the way that they have chosen a very narrow slice of the LGBTQ+ community to represent and I'm assuming that this is a movie that is marketed to children. And so when I think about, as a child, seeing films that, you know, that might change how I think about myself or how I think about other people, this is, you know, I know it's the Jungle Cruise movie, but they've missed the boat on the opportunity to really, you know, create a welcoming and inclusive picture of what our community is.
Mm-hmm. Penny, other than laughing at Jenny's well-timed joke, what are you?
Well, when I retell the story, I'm going to be one who said that first. first off, my first reaction to this is kind of surprise and a little bit of outrage that it's taken this long for Disney to actually have a gay character appear in one of their films. My kids have kind of aged out of the whole Disney thing, but in the fact that they are showcasing, hey, we've got a gay, and then making a straight man who probably, I've seen his stuff, is probably perfect for the role. So that this was the showcase event that they had for Disney to show that they are taking a step towards equality is just tone deaf on so many ways, so many levels. Yeah, he's probably perfect for the role, the way it was sounds. But and there may have been other gay actors who auditioned for it. So from the strictly business side of putting the best product out there for the production, that he might be the best choice. The fact that it has caused so much controversy because of the way it was handled by people outside of that decision-making process is really sad.
I think also, you know, any time that you are part of a marginalized community, you look forward to moments of representation where you may see yourself reflected in the mainstream culture. And the fact that this could have been an opportunity to do that, I think that makes you sort of long for that opportunity to really see yourself reflected.
Related to that, I'd like to read a quote from a man named Lewis Staples writing for The New Statesman. And he's talking about how he feels represented or underrepresented in a situation like this. And he says, quote, "As an effeminate gay man, there is certainly something jarring about a straight man like Whitehall receiving a pat on the back and a huge paycheck for portraying traits that I was ridiculed for growing up, particularly when gay actors are not receiving the same opportunities," end quote. So on the one hand, we can sort of celebrate that finally Disney and finally other companies are creating opportunities to showcase the stories or just characters that are LGBTQ. But at the same time, there's this nuanced point, and I saw you nodding, Adam. I mean, do you agree with Lewis in that this is, in a way, offensive?
Yeah, in a certain extent, yeah. Because of the description, you know, can't be effeminate, and knowing that that's generally, you know, description used to mock. I mean, obviously, there's nothing wrong with that, and there are plenty of gay men who have those traits. But knowing that it's a straight man sort of mimicking that behavior, I think sort of exacerbates the problem.
Mm-hmm. As an actor, Jake, how do you view that quote?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, and I understand what Adam is saying, is there's almost a safety in having a gay actor portray a gay role, because there's just a sense of trust within the community that they will do the part justice. I can just say from experience, because actually the last project I did, I played 6 different characters. It was a one-man show. 3 happened to be gay, and I played different versions of gay, I guess you could say. And I know for a fact that there was some quiet criticism of, oh, well, the lead character wasn't gay enough, or this or that. So there's a lot of damned if you do, damned if you don't. And this situation is a perfect example of that. But I get both sides. And I do understand this, that idea that, you know, we're going to be very protective of the representation we do get. And there is that sense of, is this person going to handle it responsibly and do it justice and fairly? And I think that comes to the bigger picture, which right before we started this interview, there was a lot of head nod with what is fair in representation in general. And it extends so far beyond the actor. I feel more confident knowing that the writing is fair and just and you know, properly handled, rather than the actor that's then taking over from there. So again, this opens up a really big conversation with you know, the representation in the arts and creativity in general.
To the point that you made, oh, I'm sorry, Jenny, did you have, Michael.
I was just going to say that we're talking about this and we haven't even seen the product, or we haven't even know what's going to happen. So this is like a big marketing ploy, to be honest. But I care about what I see on the screen. You know, if Call Me By Your Name, if they talk much about the casting of Timothée Chalamet and Armie Hammer beforehand, there's probably going to be a lot of protests, but a lot of people got exposed to that film after the fact when they were there. And they, you know, because the characters were very well done on screen and the actors did a good job, people didn't complain much about it, not even people from the gay community. So I think so much is being made a big deal of when we haven't really seen anything yet.
Well, it's kind of hard to do when it's a film. I mean, you don't really know what's going to happen until you see it. And then that's, at that point, it's too late. I think the whole thing is the presentation of the casting has become a monster. And it was handled really, really poorly. And it has caused a whole bunch of uproar because of all the points that we brought up here. How do you know what happened? You don't. But the fact that this is an issue this far after Stonewall, this far after Ellen DeGeneres came out on television, this far after there have been so many inroads in so many films with gay actors playing gay and straight characters, that it has happened this way.
I have sort of a two-part question for all of you. So let's examine a hypothetical situation and say dozens of gay actors auditioned for this role. Disney decided we're going with Jack Whitehall because he's the best fit. So part one, should they have not done that? Would it be in their best interest to cast a gay actor because of the sensitivity and because of the iconic moment? And then the second part is, if they decided not to do that, what should their response be to this criticism? Because I don't think we've heard much from Disney, not that I've seen. We've heard a little bit from Jack Whitehall, but it's really in the company's hands as to the decisions they make. So what do you think?
I think Disney's dealing with a lot right now, because actually before I even heard about this, you know, facet of the conversation, I was reading that there was an uproar because there was just a gay character in this film. It didn't even have anything to do with the casting of it. So I think they have a lot on their plate right now. And I do, you know, I find it disheartening, because I have to believe that Disney's trying to do the right thing here. And I think by incorporating this character in a mainstream film, they really feel we're doing the right thing. But this has happened time and time again. Casting is always controversial. It's always going to be. I mean, I remember going, this has been an ongoing issue forever. And I do think we're getting better. I think we're getting closer. I at least feel people are, you know, obviously being more outspoken about it. But I feel like they're dealing with a lot right here.
My answer to your question would be yes, they should have. I find it very hard to believe that there are not openly gay actors who could play that part with the same sort of flamboyance that Jack Whitehall is going to. Jack Whitehall is not a name, is not a money in the bank sort of character. of an actor that's going to be bringing people to the box office. It just shows a tone deafness that, okay, this is our first openly gay character. We got kind of a black eye with the whole Josh Gad dancing with a man image in Beauty and the Beast.
That's, I was going to mention that too.
Yeah, that and they're the uproar for that, so they knew what they were facing, and they did this. And they chose a flamboyant homosexual character to be their first openly gay character in a film. That was a mistake. Giving it to a straight man, even though one who could actively play the part really well, that was a mistake. It's not a mistake in the production. It's a mistake in the entire thought process of the Disney film hierarchy that they got it to this point, and they made all of these really tone-deaf decisions.
Do you agree with critics, Penny, who say that if they had cast a gay actor, he would have been typecast in a very flamboyant role? What do you think about that?
Probably, but they may have already had that. I mean, I can think of a half a dozen gay actors who are flamboyant, that bank on it, that make their money by being that sort of man.
So that's not necessarily a bad thing in your view?
It's up to the actor to break that mold.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just thinking about the fact that if we say that only gay actors can play gay roles, does the sort of opposite end of it, and I don't, maybe this is crazy, but does the opposite end of it come that, you know, gay actors can only play gay roles and cannot play straight roles? And, you know, there honestly historically haven't been that many. Neil Patrick Harris sort of is a huge exception to that rule. But what happens if we say that you can only play the role of the experience that you have? I think there are absolutely exceptions to that, where, you know, we really have to make sure that the person playing the role does have that experience, and it certainly enriches what you bring to that role. But I think, you know, what Jake was mentioning before about who's on the rest of the team, is the rest of the team coming to this with experience that can lend to the creation of an authentic character and a fully rounded character, not just a sort of, you know, funny glimpse of someone. But if the rest of the team is there creating a full character, then we know, and we have seen award-winning productions from straight actors playing, straight cisgendered actors playing LGBTQ roles and doing it really well. Now, have we seen any LGBTQ actors receive awards for playing LGBTQ plus roles? I don't think so.
Not according to the research I've done.
Yeah. So, I mean, that we're not seeing that opportunity.
Can I ask a question to you about that? If you replace gay with any other underrepresented minority in films, would you still be asking that question? I'm old enough to have actually seen Breakfast at Tiffany's in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, I was like horrified at the portrayal of Mickey Rooney as the upstairs, angry
Mystery
upstairs
in the
Asian.
Ocean.
Yeah, yeah. That was horrible. We have seen actors playing specifically minority roles who are not minorities.
Mm-hmm.
We are tending to move away from it, but we still did. Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, kind of, not trying to segue or anything like that, but she had some problems because she was doing playing an Asian character in a previous film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of knew this was going to go there to a degree. And I...
Well, I'm here. Of course it is.
No, but even before you got here, we were discussing that, you know, and there is a difference between gender identity and racial identity.
Yeah.
I believe there is.
And sexual identity.
And all of that. Yes, absolutely. Identity in general. And to your point before, it makes me a little anxious or nervous about that concept of a gay man is best to play a gay role, straight man best to play a straight role. Who's to say that? Because I don't have children, I can't play a father grieving the loss of a child. That's a challenge I would like to take on, you know, for example, and I would rely on the people around me, the director, the writers, the team to get me there, to bring that out of me. That is the challenge as an actor. And you need to surround yourself with people that you know, can bring that honesty to the character.
I'm seeing the phone starting to ring, so Keith, hang on there for just a moment. Listeners, if you'd like to join this conversation, tell us what you think. Do you think Disney made a mistake? We're talking about representation, LGBTQ portrayals in film and television. You can call the program 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI. That's 263-9994. You can email the program at connections@WXXI.org. And you can find me on Twitter at MMacMedia. So before we take Keith's call, I just want to address one thing that Jake brought up a few moments ago about, you know, the wrong kind of gay, quote unquote, the wrong kind of gay, the wrong kind of lesbian. And I'm reminded of a quote from Darren Scott, who wrote for The Independent. He's the former editor of a longtime gay magazine. And he's speaking out against the criticism of Disney. And he says, quote, "I've seen some pretty ropey casting of LGBT plus people in LGBT plus roles, with them being given that opportunity simply because the people involved think it's the right thing to do. It may make good headlines, but it makes terrible viewing. It narrows the field if you only consider gay actors for gay roles. The best person for any part is based on their abilities to make people believe, not their sexuality. Let's not forget that even when Hollywood does cast an LGBT plus person in a gay role, Ruby Rose as Batwoman last week, for example, they still end up being hounded off Twitter for being, quote, the wrong lesbian, end quote, or some such nonsense." This from people who weren't even aware until last week that Batwoman was even a lesbian. "If I, an out gay man, wanted a plumber, I would hire the best plumber. I wouldn't hire someone because they were gay and simply told me they were a plumber. The world is full of people who bequeath themselves grandiose job titles, but actually just aren't up to the job as much as they'd like to be," end quote. So a few things to unpack there, some we've already addressed, but related to the question of the right or wrong, quote-unquote, lesbian. How do you all feel like that? There's intersectionality in every demographic. Do you feel like the LGBTQ community is ganging up on itself, in a sense, with this story in this case?
I've, just to add to what Jenny said, I feel the most important thing for me is my story being told properly. I'm more concerned about that than who's acting on screen. Just like, you know, the TV show Transparent, people involved in that production know very well the stories and of the transgender community. So they didn't have a problem having Jeffrey Tambor play the main character, because the story he's telling, a lot of people can relate it, and it seems proper to me anyway. So if everyone who's behind the scenes are actually telling the right story and properly, I don't have as much of a problem than the actor who's playing the character. Because for a lot of people, they don't even know if the character is gay or straight. You know, it's just now, because there's social media, that people can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and with this character specifically, I mean, I don't really know much about Kathy Kane, Batwoman. I really don't. I just, you know, having read now, apparently she's a Jewish lesbian
yes.
woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruby Rose apparently is considered gender fluid.
Right.
You know, she's announced that herself, and that's not good enough. And it seems like in some ways this is kind of a fanboy fangirl situation, you know, coming out about this character. I don't think people are obviously looking for much reality seeped in Batwoman, but I like the fact that at least for the casting announcement when it went out, they were looking for an openly gay woman. And that to me at least says this is a safe place for people to audition, which I find value in. And I think people will always find some sort of issue. Like I said, casting is controversial. Mm-hmm. They're always going to find an issue, and it's really easy to again, jump on Twitter and throw out your opinions about something without thinking about the harm you're doing. And I appreciate that she went off Twitter and said, you know what, we need to come together. Mm-hmm. This needs to be a community that supports each other, not is constantly breaking each other down.
I do think the Ruby Rose discussion kind of muddies the water a bit, because I feel like it's getting into issues of just like toxic fandom more than, you know, the LGBT mm-hmm. representation, because people, you know, get very possessive about the things that they love. And I feel like it's getting sort of into that. Like they had a very specific vision of what that character should be. And it's not necessarily, you know, her sexuality or orientation that, you know, is most swaying their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Let's head to the phones. Keith has been waiting. This is Keith in Rochester. Go ahead.
Megan, how are you doing today?
Great, Keith.
A couple things. In my opinion, I don't think you need to have a gay person playing a gay part. Reason being is their trade is acting. If you can act like a gay person and you're good at it, so be it. But just to give you a couple of examples, I do believe Jonathan Pryce played an Asian man in the Broadway version of Miss Saigon. Robin Williams played a gay man in Birdcage. You have a really good actor who plays a strong, powerful man named Peter Dinklage, and he's a dwarf. I think you had Linda Hunt, and she won an Academy Award for playing a man, and she was a woman. And there was Forrest Whitaker was in a movie where he had a love interest that turned out to be a guy, and you didn't know it until the end. So to people to complain that you have to be a certain type to play a certain type, I just think is wrong. If you're a good actor, you could probably play anything.
Okay, thanks, Keith. Thanks for your call. That's something we did touch on a little earlier, where the line is, I think, is the question. So I think, Penny, you brought up Breakfast at Tiffany's and Mickey Rooney playing Mr. Inuyoshi, who's right. An Asian character.
It was a caricature.
And it was a caricature.
An extraordinarily offensive one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I tell my improv students, I say, if you're a man, you can play a woman. You can play a salt and pepper shaker. You can play a lawnmower. You can play the concept of hope. But sometimes, and I think this comes out of fear, but students go to places where maybe they play a very stereotypical character because they think it's funny or they're nervous, and then you work through the process of, here's why this is offensive and maybe you should make a different choice. But my question is, why are we still casting people in these roles when there are a plethora of actors who are that racial identity that could play them?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be an issue. If this was a level playing field, it shouldn't be that way. But it is. And, you know, the question, should gay actors be hired for gay roles? I think the question would be, should gay actors be hired for gay roles at this point in time? Because there is an underrepresentation. There is a thought process towards privilege in Hollywood. White men playing all these different parts. Straight white men playing all these different parts. And there needs to be the awareness. And straight white men directing. Straight white men writing. Straight white men shooting, editing. All these things. And that needs to start moving away. And I think it is slowly. But there has to be a point where we are at a point where the thought process needs to be, if this is a gay character, we need to make sure that we do everything that we can to make to include gay or trans performers in the audition process.
And I think that's key to what Penny said. They have to make sure that they think they did everything they can. And mm-hmm. We don't know that, you know,
right.
In the
we
background.
Right, we shouldn't speculate about what happened.
So, yet. But my, for me, I don't have as much of a problem with the LGB part, but I do draw the line with trans characters and, you know, being able to hire trans people to play trans characters because, as Penny said before, trans actors don't get in the same room as the cisgender actors and actresses. They don't have that much opportunity. And for them to be blocked out of that process for those characters, that for me is much more of an offense, a much bigger offense.
That's something I'd like to explore in our second half hour. We're going to take our short break. And when we come back, we'll talk about just what Michael said, along with the Scarlett Johansson story that we saw in the news recently. She declined an opportunity to play a transgender character because she felt the role should go to a transgender person. We've got some sound we'll listen to and more. So everyone, stay with us. Again, if you'd like to share your opinion, 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Short break, more connections next. Coming up in our second hour, if you've tried to swim in the Finger Lakes this summer and arrived at the beach to find it's closed, it's probably due to harmful algal blooms. The algae have been a problem in some parts of the Finger Lakes for years, and now the blooms are spreading. We'll talk about what they are, the problems they pose, and efforts to alleviate them. That's next on Connections. are listening to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. We're talking about LGBTQ representation in television and film. And this discussion comes on the heels of a number of recent news stories regarding that issue, one being Disney hiring a straight actor to play its first openly gay character in film. And another is it involves Scarlett Johansson. So she recently withdrew from the film Rub and Tug after the decision to cast her in a trans role attracted criticism. So our guests today are talking about these issues. Joining me in studio, Adam Lubitau, film critic for City Newspaper, Jenny Werner, literary director and resident dramaturg at Jiva Theater, Penny Sterling, a storyteller, Michael Gamilla, the programming director for Image Out, the Rochester LGBT Film Festival, and Jake Purcell, a local actor. So before we took our short break, we just started to get into the issue of transgender roles. And Michael, you started us off by saying that's where you draw the line. You don't want a straight person playing a transgender character.
For me, that's very important, only because, they're probably able to do best to tell their stories, because the transgender community is much more complicated than anything else. It's just that they don't get the same opportunities that transgender actors.
Mm-hmm. I'll turn to Penny. I know you probably have a lot to say on this issue. You do some performing yourself.
Yes, I do. The biggest problem that I had with Scarlett Johansson, first off, let's remember she's also a producer of this film. So I think the casting call was, hi, this is my show, I want to do this. Which I guess as a producer you have that right, but her first response to this mm-hmm. was incredibly tone deaf and
yes.
unbelievably insulting. To point out all these other places where people with the transgender community was saying, we're having a problem with the casting that's been going on here. And her say, well, my response is their response. That was incredibly, incredibly cold.
To your point, Penny, I'm sorry. She did originally defend her position by citing people like Jeffrey Tambor mm-hmm. in Transparent. And then I think it was the backlash that prompted her to say, and this is her quote, I have great admiration and love for the trans community. I'm grateful that the conversation regarding inclusivity in Hollywood continues. While I would have loved the opportunity to bring Dante's story and transition to life, I understand why many feel he should be portrayed by a transgender person, and I'm thankful that this casting debate, albeit controversial, has sparked a larger conversation about diversity and representation in film. So, Penny, in your opinion, I mean, that should never have even been a decision to cast her in the first place.
It is. I mean, I can understand from a performer's standpoint. Yeah, she wants to break away from the attractive femme fatale version. She's looking for ways to expand her acting ability and to show that she is more than just somebody who can, you know, kick the knees off of a green monster or something like that. She wants to be an actor, and I understand that. Her choice was. It was questionable. Her first response was abominable. She backtracked lovingly, very, 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 very nicely. And as I often say in these cases, apologies are not the end. Apologies are the first step towards reparation. Is the film still going on? Are they finding somebody else to play this role? Will it be a trans person? It's a nice apology, but there needs to be more to it than that.
Yeah, and I mean, again, her intention, was it for creativity or was it to be provocative? You know, who knows why she wanted to do this in the first place? And I do find, I appreciated that she stepped back. And I do think with arts in general in our society, I think the baby steps to move forward are key. And I think, you know, when looking back, Felicity Huffman playing in Transamerica, I thought was such a key moment. Because it was for many people the first time they ever saw a lead character in a film playing, you know, a trans person. But you got to keep up in the ante, not for the sake of doing it, but just because that's the way society has gone. So I agree, it is time to take those steps to move towards authenticity. And I think this is a great opportunity to do that, and I really hope that is the direction they'll go in.
I would add also that at a time when there is such violence towards trans people, the idea that that we can that anyone would, you know, sort of erase the trans person, it feels like an erasure to me of the trans person by having a straight a cisgendered person play that role. And I think the idea that just given throughout history, and currently now the violence towards trans people is such an important thing to be able to see trans people on screen and on stage.
And I do think that, you know, her first response kind of said everything about where her mindset mm-hmm. was. Where she said, you know, I direct you to Felicity Huffman, Jeffrey Tambor, and Jared Leto, people who have won awards for portraying transgender characters. And I feel like that's exactly, she was like, this is my opportunity mm-hmm. to win an award. And we keep saying it, but I think it just goes back to the key thing is opportunity. And I think I absolutely believe that, you know, actors can play any role, but I think that won't be the case until, you know, transgender actors are considered for cisgender roles, and that just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. There's no transgender actors playing straight roles. I would love to have a transgender actor be part of a romance where the fact that the person is transgender isn't even an issue. We're not there. We're a long ways from there.
Well, being in a film festival, that's true to a lot of mainstream films, but that happens in a lot of the smaller indie films that just don't make to the big screen. But they do come to the film festival, so they should come to Image Out. Anyway, I do feel, though, that the Johansson debacle is, I feel like that's a vanity project for her because she's mm-hmm. part of the production. But isn't that project shelved? I thought it was shelved, which I think would be the wrong response, because I think, you know, it's good that she steps back, but I think the main thing to do is to collaborate with the transgender community to tell the story well, because that's what happens with the hit TV show Pose. You know, with Ryan Murphy working with the transgender community to bring the story of the transgender people in the ball scene. And that show is doing very well critically, and I think also from the audience, because it employs a lot of transgender actors.
That's an interesting point, though, with Robin Tug. That is it shelved now because by her withdrawing, has the funding been withdrawn? And the financial backers say, well, if Scarlett's not starring in it, we're not going to make this movie. Yeah. And therefore, no one ever gets to see it.
And the story will not be...
Exactly.
We won't get to know the story of...
Right. And I mean, I even think about, like, one of my first real experiences seeing a person I felt I could relate to on film or TV was with Will and Grace. Mm. And if that show, say it had never been done because maybe the producer said, we just feel more comfortable having a straight actor playing that lead. And someone said, no, we have to have a gay actor. And then they said, forget it. Never mind then. Where would we be in society in many ways now without something like that? Like, there are gateways, and there have to be, again, these baby steps, and I struggle with that.
But I think, so Will and Grace was, when was that?
98.
Yeah, 90.
Right,
yeah.
So long ago.
20 years, not that
I know,
long ago.
I know, but haven't we come forward? Haven't we taken steps?
We have,
steps?
And I agree. So I agree with you.
Well, I agree, because, you know, certainly... the films and TV shows that were out when I was coming out were hugely important to me, but there weren't very many of them. Mm-hmm. And now that we are seeing Hollywood really realize that we're not just like a niche hiding off in a corner mm-hmm. somewhere, but that our stories in can be told and can be part of what everyone is interested in. Then we need to do better, and we need to take huge steps forward.
I don't even small steps are fine, as long as there's many of them. My favorite film this summer was Hearts Beat Loud, which is a story about love and loss. A widowed father closes up his record store and has one last musical fling with his daughter, that gives him a chance for the musical career he never had. Never mentioned in there was the fact that his dead wife was black. Is Nick Offerman playing the father? Nick, his dead wife was black, and his daughter was queer, and they gay, bisexual. We don't know. As close as we came to it is when she's writing the song that was a hit, and he said, "Is this a song about someone?" And she looks kind of winsome. He goes, "Girlfriend," and she looks away and says, "Boyfriend," and she goes, "Dad." But it was more like a dad, stop bugging me about this. Not dad, don't assume that I... It just was not an issue in the film. It just was who she was. Mm-hmm. When people can be who they are in the films and not have it be an issue.
Right.
That's the important thing.
I do see progress, though, because if you look at Will and Grace 98, and Will was a, for lack of better words, a totally non-sexual character. Cut to 2008, we have Brokeback Mountain. Mm. Yes, straight actors, but they were allowed to live as gay men do, you know? And then cut to 10 years, you know, now we're talking in 2018, there was a casting call that said, you know, seeking out an openly gay woman for this role. Like, that is progress. Those are the steps we're looking at. And I get it's never going to be what we want it to be right away, but we're also, are we holding Hollywood to some sort of moral compass? Like, we're in trouble if we're really doing that.
Maybe it's optimism.
I agree. We're hoping for steps forward.
Maybe it's not impossibility, but I see
those in retrospect. I see those steps, and I've experienced those steps, and I am happy for those.
Well, something Adam brought up before this conversation began on the air was that if you look at Brokeback Mountain, so many actors were considered for that role and shied away from it until they decided on Jake Gyllenhaal and
Heath Ledger.
Thank you, Heath Ledger. And then they were celebrated for playing these two characters and being brave and taking a risk. And now we're having a situation where people are they want these roles. They're comfortable. So I think that's progress. Mm-hmm. It may not be ideal, but mm-hmm. I think, as you said, Jake, baby steps, Jenny. I mean, yes, it's valuable to be optimistic. Do you feel like we're attacking our own progress sometimes? Is there like this purity test, even in these situations where we make incremental progress, but it's not perfect, so we go back? Do you think that's happening?
I think there are people who are looking for outrage for outrage's sake. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the outrage of the century of the day, where and they just go on to the next one and the next one, and you see that a lot of that on social media. And I think that we who are interested in this need to step back from that and ask these questions. And there are no right or wrong answers to this. We just need to keep moving forward. Slow growth is good growth, really.
According to the research, though, growth has not been as successful as some would like or have said. So this is a GLAAD study that took a look at LGBTQ representation in film and media in 2017. So in this annual report, they looked at 109 major releases surveyed from 2017. 12.8% included LGBTQ characters. That was down from 18.4% the previous year. And none of the major films had a transgender character. On a positive note, there was an increase in racial diversity of the LGBTQ characters after 2 years of decline. So, Adam, I'll turn to you. I know you've seen a lot of films. You've studied a lot of films. Do you think we're, although the numbers aren't very positive, do you think we're making progress in terms of the storytelling?
I do. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we are having these conversations and people are calling out the problems that they see. And, you know, just the discussion helps move that forward. I mean, you look at, you know, everything around Oscar So White, that got a lot of attention and that led to the Academy making changes. So I think the discussion and talking about it and pointing out the things that, you know, Hollywood can do better, even if it's just pointing out that they can do better, I think helps.
How about the rest of you? Are there any examples of films in recent years that you think are a great example of accurately, fairly telling a story that is not just based on this character is gay? It's just about the story.
I already mentioned Hearts Beat Loud, which was a good one. A Fantastic Woman, which is Argentinian, but still, I think, a nice template on how to deal with transgender issues in society, where it was just a person trying to get what, you know, more trying to mourn the death of a lover and the struggle that she had for that. Those are two that come to my mind.
From a film festival perspective, you see a lot of better films in terms of representation of LGBTQ plus community overseas. Some of my best gay films are usually, every year, are usually foreign titles. And many of those don't make the U.S. market also. It's just we have to try harder here in the U.S. And there's a lot of films being made. They just don't get shown. And maybe the studios are responding to what the market wants, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe the gay films that are being done are not making money. Maybe because people are not going, even the gay people are not going to the movies to see them. That's why, you know, when Love, Simon came on screen, it's a very good representation of a gay story. You know, I was behind it, like promoting it. But a lot of gay men, that's not my story anymore. That was so old because, you know, that's not what I am now. But the fact that it's out there and it could help other people, you should just throw your support around it. But yeah, most people don't.
There's a movie on Netflix right now. It's called Alex Strangelove. It's very sweet. It's about, you know, a teen's gay experience and coming out. And it was one of the first times my husband and I watched it. And we kind of threw out and at the end looked at each other. We were like, yeah, that felt right. That got pretty close. And so I think there are things that are starting to explore that and feel a little more real and touch on that.
Here's a comment from Mel on Twitter. She says, curious about if the discussion hinges on Disney finally creating an LGBTQ role, as Hollywood has begun telling these stories now. Was there this discussion around casting Eddie Redmayne in The Danish Girl?
I would say there was. I know people had a lot of problems with that. And that's another case of a cisgender actor, you know, coming in, playing a role, and getting awards recognition for it.
Tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that film, just in case people aren't familiar,
oh boy.
Adam. Just very brief.
Eddie Redmayne played a transgender woman. Oh, my God.
I can't remember her name.
I was going to say I'm drawing a blank on her name, and this is, oh, God.
Isn't it Greta? Greta. I don't remember. But yeah. That movie went through a lot of iterations, too, because I think Nicole Kidman was attached to it at mm-hmm. one point, and that went through a lot of different incarnations and different actors in that lead role and ended with. So interestingly, it started with a female to play the transgender role, then went to a male, went to Eddie Redmayne to play the role. Gwyneth Paltrow was attached at one point. So clearly there wasn't much of a direction in what to do with that role, except obviously it sounds like
not a transgender actor.
Exactly. Yeah. It sounds like they really kept it within the cisgender community, which right. is really interesting. Yeah.
And that sort of goes back to what we've said before about, you know, even in cases where it's a cisgender actor or a straight actor playing these roles, knowing who's behind the scenes, who else is on that team telling that story helps. Because I think in that case, from the movie itself, it seemed like there were no transgender people involved with how that was told. Right. And sort of building on that, you know, we mentioned Call Me By Your Name, a movie I loved from last year, and there were two straight actors played in that. But in that case, the director was gay, the writer was gay, and so knowing that the people in charge of the creative processes that were happening and how the story was told, it gave me a little more confidence, and I think that's also key.
Absolutely. I'm thinking, tied to The Danish Girl, I'm thinking of transgender actress Nicole Maines talking about the Scarlett Johansson story. And she did an interview with Variety in which she said that there's so much danger in casting someone like Scarlett Johansson in a role that she was considering, the Dante role, because it further perpetuates the idea, and these are her words, that transgender people are just dressing up.
Yeah.
And so, Penny, I know you probably...
Dude in a dress.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Or a woman in a suit. It's not the case, and it's not sexual. It's just a more accurate representation of who we are as human beings.
So to Adam's point, if transgender people had been at the table during right. whenever that meeting, you know, regarding casting had been planned, whether or not Scarlett Johansson was a key player or not, that was probably a conversation that could have been had,
but didn't happen.
And didn't mm-hmm. happen
because Hollywood is it's a company town, mm-hmm. and it's people who know people, and they all have their own little power enclaves, and they listen to the people, and they don't include these because there's very few people in the process of filmmaking that are gay, and even less that are transgender. It's getting better, but the ones that have gay, but it's. It's still a matter of, no, they shouldn't be looked at as a moral compass, but they should be aware of their privilege and should be aware of things that they can do to change that.
So GLAAD is calling on Hollywood, the organization GLAAD, to commit to hitting a target of 20% of major releases, including LGBTQ characters, by 2021 and 50% by 2024. I want to conclude the hour just by asking each of you, do you think that's realistic? So 50% of major releases, including gay LGBTQ characters, by 2024.
Heck yes. Of course it is. There are phenomenal actors and performers and writers and editors and directors, and gender and sexuality have nothing to do with their abilities. Will Hollywood respond to it? Will they listen to it, especially in this political climate, which is why I think the numbers came down this year, is because of the political climate. Will they happen? If there's a change in the political climate, of course it will. If there isn't, that might be harder.
Okay.
I think it's more about the LGBTQ stories being added to the films that we see in the theaters, and that's possible because we've proven that there are a lot of interesting narratives from the community that a lot of people are interested in seeing those films. They just need to be given a chance and not to say, oh, that won't sell or that won't survive out there.
And I'd say that whether or not it's realistic that Hollywood will actually do that, I think we have to start by making big requests or demands. And if we paint a picture of what we hope will happen and stay on it and keep advocating for our stories to be told, then, you know, hopefully we'll get close.
Mm-hmm. Couple seconds to each of you, Jake and Adam. Is it too optimistic?
I'm optimistic. Good. You know, Frances McDormand ended her Oscar speech with inclusion writer. Millions of people Googled what that meant. So we're moving forward.
Adam, yes or no?
Yes, it's possible.
We're out of time. We could have done a whole other hour on this issue. I'd like to thank all my guests, Adam Lubitau, Jenny Werner, Penny Sterling, Michael Gamilla, Jake Purcell. Stay with us, listeners. We're talking about algae in the next hour. That should be fun. More Connections next.